productions on PWLB and some greater clarity around what they call scrutiny rate, which I think we're all a bit mystified by at the moment. Ultimately, that will be an LGA decision, what happens with that. I know we've, some of my team have been out and have spoken to a number of the people in the room about this. Just to clarify, the model as it stands and develops does not rely on cross guarantees. So that's, we know there's a FIDES issue with that. We've got a model that can stand up without that, so we believe. So I just wanted to sort of clarify that. David mentioned in his talk earlier on just looking at assets, and we're also involved in some work where authorities or across a number of authorities where people are looking at their strategic use of their assets. And I agree, I think there's quite a lot of untapped potential there, and if you can extend that to other parts of the public sector, and I'm sure everyone in this room understands the hurdles and the challenges that are involved in that because of the different political accountabilities that sit behind health and local government and central government. But I think if we could crack that, I think there is potentially quite a lot of scope there. We are involved in something called the Capital Assets Programme that some of you will know about, and are currently working with a number of authorities and close authorities on that. That may lead to asset-backed vehicles or it may not. I think there was a bit of asset-backed vehicles being a solution that was attaching to a problem rather than becoming the right solution in some situations. And we are certainly big fans of proper option appraisal around what you use your surplus assets for and how you get best value out of them. And in some cases, there's no doubt asset-backed vehicles will be the way to go, but not, I think, in all cases. And then there's central local partnership against on the public sector side. And I think if, you know, all the other speakers have flagged up the need for a stable policy environment here. We wait for Treasury to tell us about PFI reform and what that means. You know, we've heard there are pensioners interested in getting pension funds, investments or funding, sovereign wealth funds. There are commercial lenders like Barclays and so on. I feel what we're missing is, and we know the projects are there that need the funding, it's the toolkit to get that funding and that investment in some cases into those projects and understanding what's acceptable to government and what's not. And, you know, public-private partnerships, well, in the UK, you know, last 15 years, we've churned out over 900 deals, public-private partnership deals. We've delivered a shedload of infrastructure off the back of that. There is discomfort now with the cost of some of that, and you may agree or not agree with that, and the risk apportionment that sits within those deals. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, is what I would say. We've got huge expertise in this country. On the public sector side, we've developed it, the private sector side, and the funding and investment side, and the advisory side. We've got good machinery there. We can deliver. We know we can deliver. There are challenges, I say, around the political perceptions, around the cost of it. There are other challenges around the availability of long-term debt, which we know is becoming an increasingly scarce commodity, and scarce commodities tend to get more expensive. So there are issues there, but I don't think they're insolvable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's see.
Thank you.